You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
The Holy Spirit sets us apart for the works and purposes of God in the area of sanctification. Learn more about this truth in week 3 of our series, Make Room.
Morning, everyone. Today, we are on the third installment of our series called Make Room. This is basically pneumatology, which is the study of the Holy Spirit. And before we had this series, we look into soteriology, the study of salvation. On the third installment, down to the sixth, I believe, we will specifically look at the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatian church, and we will see how we could study the person of the Holy Spirit in light of his function, his role to every single believer like you and me here today. When we look at Galatia, just for us to have a brief context, you could see on that map that there's Antioch, Lystra. On that map right there, there's also a place called Derby. So, ang pinakaunang bulangan, nasa Galatia po. Alright, so that's Antioch and Pisidia, Lystra. That's Galatia right there. This was a church which was planted by Paul himself on his first missionary journey. This was one of the places where he planted a church. And it was a thriving church. But of course, just like any other church filled with imperfect people, there were issues that were running in the church, and Paul basically addressed those issues. So the purpose of the book of Galatians is to refute the Judaizers' arguments and to spare the Galatian church from false gospel. What was happening here was that Galatia, as we all know, is a Gentile city. It's a non-Jewish city. This was the call of Paul to bring the gospel to the Gentile world. And one of those places where he planted a church is Galatia. And it is a church filled with Jewish believers and Gentile believers coming together. But of course, they didn't get to hear about the preaching about no partiality. So there was partiality running rampant in the church. So what was happening was that there was a group of people called Judaizers. They were actually causing confusion in the church because what happened was that the Judaizers in the church became prominent. Meaning to say, the elders in the church were the Judaizers. The leaders of the church were the Judaizers. And the Judaizers were imposing something on the Gentile believers. They were like saying, you Gentile believers should be circumcised. You Gentile believers should follow the Mosaic law in order for you to be truly saved. That was an early church heresy, a wrong kind of gospel in that matter. And of course, Paul came to the rescue, starts writing the Galatian church, and he refuted the Judaizers' argument and spared the Galatian church from false gospel. Of course, you have to understand, it wasn't an easy task for Paul to do something like that. Judaizers were learned people. So while Paul was giving his arguments, they were also giving their counter arguments for that matter. And the matter was only settled in the principal's office. The dispute was resolved. The issue was clarified at the Council of Jerusalem in AD 50. So meaning to say, when the apostolic team came together, that's where they settled the matter. In front of the Judaizers, Peter, together with the other disciples, started telling every single one that it only takes faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ in order for us to be saved. The Judaizers had a hard time giving up their legalism in lieu of their freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Legalism won't save us, amen? It's only through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to look at a couple of verses, and we'll just come on the third verse. We will look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Now look at this one. It says here, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Like what I said, starting today over and going to the next three Sundays, we will look at the book of Galatians to talk about this specific installment of the Make Room series about the Holy Spirit, and it's good for us to understand a couple of things for a while other than what we've understand or what I thought a while ago. A couple of things that you have to understand is that the key people here that we're looking into are the Galatian church, the church in Galatia, a member, a group of people in the Galatian church, which were the Judaizers, and of course, Apostle Paul. And if you read through Galatians chapter 1 to the last chapter, you come to understand that some of the key themes of this book is Paul explaining spirit versus our own flesh, and of course, faith versus works. Paul was very bold in teaching this because he wanted people to come into senses. So, I mean, are like that. When you want people to come into senses, sometimes you raise your voice, the tone of your voice, right? Sometimes you have to do that, or else people will collide with something and it will destroy their lives forever. And that was basically what the Apostle Paul was doing. As the one who planted his church, he was calling their attention and he wanted them basically to come into their senses. Look at this one. Let me just say something for a while. A couple of weeks ago, I came into a realization that I haven't met a single person who would say that they are selfish. Have you ever met someone who said, you know what, I'm a selfish person? I haven't really met someone who would claim or confess to other people that they are a selfish person. Sometimes you'd realize that you're selfish the moment you get married or the moment you get into a relationship. Those are the times when you realize that you are a selfish person. Let me just make a confession for a while. One of the blunders or mistakes that I have done, not even as a pastor, but even as a Christian, is there are times in my life wherein I get annoyed or irritated. I come out as an angry person. I feel bad during those times wherein I would lash out on other people just because things didn't fall my way or stuff like that. I don't know if you've ever felt something like this, but when other people have something that you don't have, sometimes you feel a little envious with what they have. Have you ever felt something like that? Ako lang ba yung ganun? Parang masyado naman ako nahihiya. You know what I'm talking about, right? Sometimes you'd tell God, Lord, meron silang ganun, ako wala. Sometimes you'd compare yourself with other people's success and you look at your life. I met an old friend yesterday. He's a lawyer now. And we were good friends back in college. And he said, you know what, Archie? Sabi niya, I haven't met too many people who actually became a pastor. I was like, what are you talking about? It was like saying, I knew which track you were going. And I started assessing myself, Lord, I know that you've called me to be a pastor and stuff like that. I'm just saying these things because, you know what? All of us here, as long as we live in this world, we all have our issues in life. And guess what? I want you to understand this. We will never run out of issues. Our issue could be insecurity. Our issue could be anger. Our issue could be jealousy. Our issue could be cheating, our issue could be stealing. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, we all understand that we all make mistakes as Christians, amen? And we're not making any excuses or justifications about our mistakes. Sometimes as Christians, we do crazy things. Sometimes there are Christians who do worse things, if you would allow me to qualify that word, worse things than unbelievers. And I'm saying this because I want to throw this question right here. As a Christian, have you done things in your life that you're not proud of? Have we done things in our life? I'm trying to put this in our level now because the Holy Spirit will minister to us. I hope and pray that we will be as honest as we can. If you try to assess your life right now as a Christian, have we done some things in our life that we are not proud of? If I try to assess my life as a leader, I look back with regards to how I treated some people before. Deep inside of me, I actually cringe. When I realize that I haven't been too all kind with my wife at times, I also cringe on those cases. When there's envy or jealousy or insecurity in my life, it makes me cringe to think that, you know, we all make blunders, we all make mistakes. And there are things in our lives that we will never be proud of. In fact, I always imagine this when everything is said and done. The only words that I'd like for myself to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ is, well done, good and faithful servant. Meaning to say, every single thing that I'm endeavoring to do in this lifetime is actually geared towards pleasing our Father in heaven. But even if our motive, even if our desire is to please God, sometimes you falter along the way. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but you woke up like 5 in the morning, you just had the greatest quiet time of your life. One of the greatest quiet times of your life. You felt like God was really speaking to you and you were really crying. You were playing worship songs and you felt like you really felt the presence of God. The moment you got out of the room, there's something on the table, something that happened with something that your housemate, your roommate, your wife, your husband did that annoys you so much and you vent out your anger. 5 minutes after a great quiet time, and you feel like a failure when those things happen. Now, I'm sharing all of these things because I want you to understand that we are all works in progress. And I want you to understand, friends, that you will never be perfect in this lifetime. If you're here today and you have issues in life, guess what? This preaching is for you. If you're here and you feel like you're perfect, heaven is for you. And there's no one who's perfect in this lifetime. So many of you say, this is all for us. As a Christian, we make mistakes. And I hope this brings encouragement to you. It says here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and he is sure of this, according to Paul, he says, that God, who has begun a good work, the moment you got saved, the moment you got birthed again in the Spirit, Bible says, God started a good work in you. That is why the Bible teaches us that God is the author and the perfecter of our faith. God isn't done with you yet. He started a good work in us. Look at this one. We'll bring it to completion at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're frustrated, you're disappointed with your life right now, take note of this one. God isn't done with you yet. It says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, he initiated this, he will carry you through. God is not someone who's going to pick you up and drop you along the way. No, that's not our God. Our God will initiate a relationship with us and he will carry us through until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, I want us to understand that God is at work in our lives. All we need to do is trust the process. We have to learn how to trust the process. You know, the entire proposition is hinged on verse 3, actually, of Galatians chapter 3. It says here, are you so foolish? The Galatian church, not you, okay? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? The key word that we're looking at here is the word perfected. What Paul was essentially saying was that you started with the Spirit, you cannot end and carry through with the flesh. Meaning to say, if you're here and you have been saved, religiosity will not carry you through. Legalism will not carry you through. It's only through what? Faith in God's finished work for every single one of us. So the key word that we're looking at here is the word perfected. I have established it on the onset that no one in this room is perfect. But guess what? We are being perfected. Meaning to say, you are in the process of perfection. Not yet, in the future, yes. Are folks with me? Let me just explain it this way for a while. You know, man is a tripartite being. You look at Ronel, you look at David, you look at Mav, you look at all of these guys, you look at yourself in the mirror. I want you to understand that you are a tripartite being. Meaning to say you are a walking spirit, soul, and body. That is our composition. Sometimes the Bible would use soul for a spirit, or soul would basically talk about a spirit. But basically, if you look at that theologically, we are a tripartite being. You are a spirit, a soul, and a body. The spirit part of you is the one that communes with God. The moment you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, your spirit is saved. That is the reason why before you don't have a relationship with God. Now you have a relationship with God. That is the reason before why sometimes you read the Bible, before it doesn't make sense. Now it's like words jumping out of the pages. It makes sense to you. Why? Because your spirit now what? Communicates and communes with God. The Holy Spirit talks to you. The Holy Spirit gives you energy. Stop cheating. Stop doing that. Stop looking at that lady and stuff like that. The Holy Spirit gives us a nudge. The soul part of us is our will, our emotion, our desire, our passion. And guess what? This is the aspect in our life that is being saved. Everyone say, being saved. So meaning to say, you are saved and you are being saved and you will be saved. Why? Because our body is just our casing. Do you folks realize that the Bible teaches us that in the future, when Christ comes back, we will be given a glorified body? Take note of that one. That is why as we age, if you're 30 years old right now, you're not going to look the same as you are now when you're 45. No matter how much pants miracle cream that you put in your face, it's going to be different. Naagnas po tayo. As life progresses, you understand that our body actually decays. And that is the result of sin. But guess what? God's promise for every single Christian out there is, the moment he comes back, our bodies will be saved. We will be given what? A glorified body. So what is on the process right now is our soul. Meaning to say, we are saved and we are being saved. Allow me to explain it further. When we say justification, you have been justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. The agent of justification is very simple. When you say justification, it is imputed righteousness. Who may appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ died for you? Now look at this one. Justification says, His righteousness now belongs to me. Regardless of what I have done in the past. Whether I'm a murderer, whether I stole, whether I cheated, whether I committed adultery, regardless of what I have done in the past, the moment I put my faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness has been imputed on me. And that is what justification means. It's only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this one. Justification is for everyone. That is why we go to Lebanon. That is why we go to Syria. That is why we go to Afghanistan. We go to Pakistan. Why? Because we preach the gospel to them. The moment they respond to the preaching of the gospel, they get justified. So many to say, justification is for everyone. Guess what? Sanctification is only for believers. You folks catch that? Justification is about our positional nature or standing in the sight of God. As a Christian, you have been saved. But guess what? The other aspect of that, I was saying a while ago, perfected. You are being perfected. What it simply means is sanctification. Meaning to say, the moment you get justified, God has set you apart. That is what holiness means, kadosh. You're being set apart for the purposes of God. So meaning to say, God saved you, not just for the sake of saving you. God saved you to become like Him. And that process is what we call sanctification. Now, if justification is for everyone, sanctification is only for believers. Justification happens one time. Sanctification happens for the rest of our life. That's basically the difference between the two. What you don't understand that sanctification is not the cause of your salvation. Sanctification is not the cause of your justification, but rather sanctification, friends, is what? The result of your justification. So meaning to say, as a Christian, it is but imperative upon us that we progress in our relationship with Christ. If your issues today are the same issues that you've had 5 years ago, it can only mean two things. It's either you haven't been receptive to the process of sanctification in your life, or you are not actually saved. So meaning to say, sanctification is the result of our salvation. Meaning to say, that's why the Bible teaches us that we progress from glory to glory. If we regress in our Christian walk, we backslid, then there's something wrong that happened along the way. The goal of sanctification is very simple. The goal is what? Christ-likeness. Jesus wants you to be just like Him. You folks want to be like Jesus? Of course, it's not going to happen in this lifetime, but there's progression that happens in our life through sanctification. To the degree that you are not Christ-like is the degree that we need to be sanctified. It's basically as simple as that. It says here in verse 1, O foolish Galatians, okay, He was bewitched you. It was before your eyes that Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified. How important is sanctification? How important is perfection for that matter? It's so important that, you know what, Paul raises the tone of his voice by calling them foolish. Meaning to say, you've already received what is yours. You've already received through the preaching of the gospel your justification, your salvation, and now you're accepting something else that is contrary to what you've received. Then it says, who has bewitched you? The word bewitched here is basically the word fascinate. During their time, there were a lot of magicians that were fooling the church people. And you know, Paul basically borrowed the word bewitched and says that if someone speaks superfluous, flowery, and flattery words that sounds true, that sounds like it's a genuine thing or legit thing, but it is not something that is in line with the scripture, in line with what I've preached to you, someone has actually fascinated you away from your relationship with Christ. And I like how Paul dealt with issues like this one. In the Galatian church, he starts putting their eyes back or fixing their eyes back to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand this. Much of our problems and issues in life can actually be resolved if we fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, even before you seek counseling, even before you seek help from other people, from other leaders, you make it a practice, you fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to understand that your issues are actually getting resolved. And Paul, with all divine wisdom, knows what to do. He wanted to what? To reshift their thinking or their gaze from themselves to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what he says. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? What he was talking about here was the gift of the Spirit. Galatian church was a thriving church. I say thriving church. There were people who were moving in the prophetic realm. There were people who were moving the prophetic gifting. The people who were healing the sick. And it was like telling, are you able to do that by your own practice? Or you're able to do that only by the Spirit alone? Then he says further, are you so foolish having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Now, here's what I want to submit to every single one of us. Okay, what is the role of the Holy Spirit in our sanctification? Look at this one, friends. It says here, the primary divine agent for progressive sanctification, I'm not talking about positional sanctification, just a progressive one, is the Holy Spirit. When you say progressive sanctification, it is what? The continuous or continued transformation of moral and spiritual character so that the life of the believer actually comes to mirror the standing which he or she already has in God's sight. Here's the thing. When you start talking about salvation, it's only God's initiative. Salvation, it's only God's work. It's not Jesus on the cross plus something else. It's not Jesus on the cross plus kindness, plus generosity. It's not like that. You were saved by virtue of what Christ has done on the cross. It's only God's initiation. Now, that is justification. That is salvation. In sanctification, it's quite different. Sanctification is not just the Holy Spirit's work. We come in partnership with the Holy Spirit. In sanctification, we have a role to play. The Holy Spirit works within us to subdue sin, the sinful impulses, and produce fruits of righteousness upon every single one of us. That is why being perfected here is actually coming from the Greek word epististi, to bring an activity to a successful finish, to complete, to finish, to end, or to accomplish. At the end of the day, we all acknowledge that we have sins in our life. When we can honestly say that you have issues or mistakes and you have sins in your life? Come on now. All right. You know what? I'm not saying that's a good thing, but that only puts all of us on a level playing field. Meaning to say, as a Christian, as a pastor, as a leader, I sin. As a Christian, you sin. We all sin. But I want us to understand, friends, every time we start talking about this, there's something that needs to happen with the sinful issues that we have in our lives. I want you to understand that there's a difference between the two. It's one thing for sin to live in the believer. It's another thing for the believer to live in sin. Because the difference there is, if you are a believer and you know that you've lied, you know that you've cheated, you know that you've looked at a woman lustfully, and it quickly comes into your senses, the Holy Spirit brings it to your attention. The Holy Spirit tells you, hey, Archie, what are you doing? That is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. That is what? That is sin present in our lives. That's one thing. It's another thing if a believer lives in sin, drowning in sin. Why? Because the Bible teaches us when that happens, the Bible tells us that for those people who has calloused heart, God has gave them over to their sinful desires. God has given them over. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has put it in their attention. They wouldn't listen to the Holy Spirit. Stand aside, Holy Spirit. I don't need this right now. I need to finish this. You keep doing that again and again and again, our hearts get hardened. And we impede the process of sanctification in our lives. The process of us being made Christ-like. What is our participation in sanctification? Friends, very simple. And let me just I'll talk about this for a while. Okay, Lord, if I now understand that sanctification is a partnership between me and you, what is my role? Here's our role. Truth, repentance, faith. Let me just say something about this for a while. When we say truth, truth, friends, is the entire counsel of God's word. Not cherry-picking verses for yourself. Not cherry-picking verses to justify your sinful nature or your sinful deeds. Truth is the entire counsel of God's word. One scripture mirrors the other. Our sanctification will be delayed if you don't read God's word. Why? Because if there's no God's word, there's no truth. Truth will not be deposited in us. I want you to understand, it's not just when you're reading the Bible, because when something happens along the way, the Holy Spirit will what? Will bring out the truth of God's word into your attention. Yung truth of God's word, bala po natin to, bala natin to. So here's what happened. Every single day, in fact, this happens every single day. And I want to appeal to you, read your Bible. Every day, forget about our daily bread. Go to the meat of God's word. You know what? No one can tell me that they're too busy for God's word. No one. You'll carve out time for FIFA World Cup at 4 in the morning. You'll carve out time for the NBA Finals. You bring cell phone everywhere. Meaning, say, we always have time for God's word. So here's what happened. Every time you get into God's word, wag naman one chapter lang. Gawin mong tatlo. Gawin nating dalawa for now, this week. Let's start with 2 weeks, with 2 chapters this week. Here's what happens. You read God's word. Here's what God's word does to us. The word of God confronts us. The word of God confronts me about my gossiping, about my lying, about my showing partiality, about my jealousy, about my insecurity, about my poverty mentality. The word of God confronts me about that. And here's what happens. When God's word confronts you, what do you do next? Repentance. Repentance is what? Repentance is changing of mind. We change our mind to align it into the truth of God's word. Repentance starts with what we call vivification, which simply means what? We set our minds on the things of above and set your minds off the things of the world. And that should be good practice for us Christians. Set your minds on the things of above. Set your minds on the things of above. We have been staying in our current home right now. We've been staying there for 4 years now. Before we moved into that house, we used to stay in a second floor apartment here in Piapi, just along the highway. And when I was a campus missionary, students would flock that place every so often. That was in 2013 when we moved to our new house. I don't know if you've ever felt this before. You're so used to going to your old house. And then you now have a new home. So every time you drive, it's just automatic that the moment you start the engine, you go straight to your old house. And then you realize, wait a minute, I no longer live here. And guess what? Because you're so used into doing that, it will take you 1 week, 2 weeks to actually familiarize your system that you no longer stay in that house. Archie, you need to take a right turn because you don't live there anymore. And it's a practice until such a time that it becomes a habit that I realize, man, it's automatic. When I turn on the engine now, I turn right here on the boulevard and go straight home, cross the bridge, turn left, turn right, then go straight home. It takes me 15 minutes before it just takes me 5 minutes. And that is basically what repentance is. Sometimes you have to train yourself not to think the way you think before. Kung barkadan lang, if before barkada was like, okay, let's go to your house, let's watch pornography.
Now that you're a Christian, you're so used to that, you have to train yourself, I'm not that old person anymore. And that is what repentance means. It's actually what training yourself for righteousness. And the other aspect of repentance is mortification. It's what? It's the cutting off of sin. You don't tame sin. God didn't teach us. You know what the Bible teaches us with regards to how we deal with sin? Bible teaches us to cut off sin that so easily entangles. Bible didn't teach us to hide sin. Bible didn't teach us to put it under the rug. Bible didn't teach us to what to tame sin, make it like a pet, domesticate it. No, you don't do that to sin. Bible teaches us to cut it off. You know, I have an illustration here, and I hope this works. I have here a plain clay. It's not clay though, sorry. You guys played something like this before? Oh, you love playing something like this. Let's say this clay right here is you. This is your life right now. Let's put your eyes. So this is you right here. And I have here a cookie cutter, egg shaper, whatever. Let's say this is Jesus right here. Lord, sorry. But this is Jesus right here. What is the goal of sanctification? The goal of sanctification is be like Christ. Meaning that there's a mold that we have to fit in as Christians. Here's what happens. Your life right now, as a Christian, your life is like this. That's your life right there. That's Jesus right there, and that's you. That's the mold. You don't actually fit. Why? Because you have excess issues in your life. You know what, how sanctification happens? It takes a lifetime to do this. Meaning to say, there's like what? Oops, in order to be Christ-like, a relationship should go. A relationship that doesn't honor God. Oh, I'm still a chain smoker. But you read the Bible, smoking's not a sin. So yeah, smoking's not a sin. Amoy perno ka lang. But it damages your body and stuff like that. I don't know, this is now a conviction. This is not about a sinful issue in your life, but just a conviction between you and God. Jealousy, envy, insecurity. Have you ever noticed this? Sometimes you hop from one group to another, you jump from one church to another because you feel like people have issues, but you don't realize that the issues follow you. Baka ikaw may issue. Maybe it's you who has the issue. You start reading the Bible and it confronts you and you realize, my goodness, I'm the one who has a gossiping tongue. I'm the one who has the problem. And Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, have mercy. God, have mercy, Lord. You cry out to God to have mercy on you, to change your life from the inside out. And guess what? That's another thing. Until such a time that your issues in your life will be resolved and you actually have the mold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you become one cute, flowery clay for that matter. It basically happens to every single one of us. I want you to understand, friends, your mind, it's not a playground. It's a battlefield. Every day you wake up, there is a battle in your mind. With my illustration a while ago, it's automatic for me to go to our old house. Then I realize, man, I don't live here anymore. And sometimes there's a tug of war. Sometimes you know that you don't live there anymore. But there's something in you that really pulls you to the right. Archie, remember, you used to do this before. You watch all of these things. You do this to other people. You want to turn to the right and go to your former ways of life. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. But guess what? You make a decision. No, Lord. What I have right now is far better than what I had before. Your glory, Lord, far outweighs, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, that those pleasure can give me at this stage in my life. The Bible teaches us, friends, that we produce fruit in keeping with repentance. How will I know if someone is repentant? I can't judge just by looking at a person. Uy, umiyak siya, nag-repent na yan. Bakit pagka stoic looking siya, hindi nag-repent yan? So I don't judge just by how the person looks. We judge by the fruit. Why? Because we produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Our motive for sanctification is not for God to love you more. Why? Guess what, friends? In your filth right now, in your dirt right now, God loves you the same. God loves you the same. What you did 5 hours ago, 5 days ago, my question a while ago, things that you're not entirely proud of. Guess what? In the moment of doing it, God loves you the same. Sanctification is God's love that motivates you to partner with God in your sanctification. Not the other way around. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 is the author and perfecter of our faith. I want to end this by talking about something for a while. I learned something a few days ago. It has something to do with a guitar. And of course, I have to ask Ronel to do that for us because that's not my talent. I realized there's what physics or physicians would teach, and they call it sympathetic vibration. You folks have ever heard something like that? And it happens this way. It's like, this is how sympathetic vibration happens. He's going to explain it in technical terms. I'm going to explain that in the spiritual terms. How does it happen, Ronel?
Basically, if you produce a sound, you produce vibrations. And through vibrations, the speed of vibration is also called the frequency. With the same frequency you do in a specific object, with that the same frequency, you actually can move other objects. It's better explained through the guitar. If you play a specific note in the guitar, all the other strings that actually have the same note but just a different octave will also vibrate. Even though if you don't strike a specific string, but if there's a specific vibration or frequency that you play, it also vibrates without even touching it.
So meaning to say, the string right here, that specific note, what is that?
B-flat.
If you strike this string right here, third string will actually vibrate. And it happens if they are on the same frequency. Now I'm saying this because I want you to understand that is the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We will only be receptive. I want you to understand, holiness is passively received, but it is also actively pursued. So in the same way, I want you to understand, if we are on the same frequency as the Holy Spirit, all the more that we will be receptive to His leading. All the more that there's going to be an impartation in our lives. All the more that Christ-likeness will happen in our lives. And I hope and pray that for all of us here today, I don't care if you have been a Christian for 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, or I don't actually care if you're just a Christian for 1 year now, or you've been a Christian just yesterday. At the end of the day, I want you to understand this. We are all being sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that we will go through the process of truth, repentance, faith. That when the Holy Spirit gives you a nudge, start obeying before your heart gets hardened and gets calloused.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.